Yeslibai, the slave Avodav, because I had made his heart stubborn and the heart of his servants. Laman Shisi Oisoisai Eila Bikirbai, in order that I put these signs in his midst. So the Dumna Magad asks a question that Bayal Pari Kanir Barat Yeslibai is like a steer, it's a contradiction. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come to Pari. The Chayit should be for a purpose. And then right away he says, Kani Hechbarati Yeslibai. That's a reason why you shouldn't come to Pari. Right? If you're not going to accomplish anything because he's going to harden his heart and you're not going to gain anything, you're not going to be able to take the in and out. So what's the pshat? Boyo Pari, come to Pari. Why? Kani Hechbarati Yeslibai. Because I hardened his heart. So the Dubna Magid says that the purpose of the ribuy of the Makis was for one main purpose. It wasn't just to punish Pari for his rishis. Be'ikru was to teach the Bnei Yisrael what happens. They're schar v'oynish. They should have amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be moisiv Yerushamayim in them in order to prepare them for Kabbalah HaTorah. We said last week that the whole Mitzrayim experience was that the Bnei Yisrael should see, they should learn, and it should prepare them for Matan Torah. He says, if you look in Parshas Vayeshanan, it says, Vayitain Hashem oisais umoisim gedailim. Hashem placed signs and great wonders, v'ram and birum has been mitzrayim b'fari v'chol beisai, le'eneinu. It was into our eyes. The ikra was, it should be le'eneinu. It was all meant because of us. And if you look at the parsha of the Shira, Parsha's B'Shalach, and next week's parsha, by Kriyas Yamsov, it says, Vayosha Hashem Vayoy Mahu Es Yisroel Yad Mitzrayim, Vayar Yisroel Es Mitzrayim Esel Svasiyam, they saw, Vayar Yisroel Es Eyer Agdayla, and then Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem, they feared Hashem, Vayaminu B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdei. So the Magid says, this is a summary of the purpose of everything. Everything should be vayar, vayar, they should see. Le'inenu to our eyes. The ikar is to be mashers them with emunah, with bitochen, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the purpose. So Mela, that's what's happening over here. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. Vayayim Hashem Moshe Bayal Paro. Ki ani echbadati yeslibai. Because I hardened his heart. The slave avodah. Ah, you'll ask me, so what's the whole purpose over here then? The purpose is I should continue placing these signs in his midst. So that you should tell your son and your grandson, that's the whole purpose of it. This is not going to get you out of Mitzrayim. Eventually, I'll take you out of Mitzrayim. But the Vaila right now, it's for the purpose of Bedavka to put more Makas in there. And what's the purpose of that? To be machshir the Bnei Yisrael, amount the saper boz ne bincha uben bincha eis asher hasalalti b'Mitzrayim. So a beautiful word for the pun of Yisrov. Will amount the saper boz ne bincha uben bincha, in order that you tell over into the ears of your son and your grandson eis asher hasalalti b'Mitzrayim, that I made a mockery out of Mitzrayim. So the Pandav Yisrov asks, why does it have to say Laman Tisaper Be'ozmei Bincha, in order that you tell over to the ears of your son? And what would be wrong if the Torah would say Laman Tisaper Lebincha? We got it to Lebincha Bayeimahu Leimar. So let us say over here Laman Tisaper Lebincha. What's Laman Tisaper Be'ozmei Bincha? So the Pandav Yisrov, if you're talking to your child in a quiet room, so you could be sitting here and he could be sitting there and he hears you perfectly. But if you're in a noisy room with people schmoozing and talking, so you have to move up closely to your child and you have to talk to him into his ear, he should be able to hear you, that the sounds in the room don't stir. So in Mitzrayim, there were many different noises. There were noises of Kaychi Vaitzem Yodi. There was the philosophy of the Mitzrayim, they were Bali Gaiva. There were Kaifrim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were many foreign winds that were blowing in Mitzrayim. And Mimele, if you wouldn't be careful in the way you say it over and concentrate and put it in your son's ear and allow the different Hashpahs to get in between you, then you're not going to be Matzliach. You have to say it in a way that these the foreign noises, they don't get in the way. You have to speak directly, figuratively, of course, but you have to speak in a way where the Vaita Ruchos are not going to have any Hashpo whatsoever. You have to give it over with a Bren, you have to give it over with a Slahavas. And we take the way you say it over, that Gufa will be something that goes into his ears, it penetrates, and the foreign winds don't interfere. Today we're living in the same matzav. Today in America is a wonderful country, Givaldi country where we could practice, you know, freedom of religion, we can learn the Torah, Torah is blossoming, everything. But at the same time, there's foreign winds, there's different hashbois, there's materialism, and there's all kinds of narishkeiten going on. And a person has to be careful, when he's mechanach, the next generation, or einiglach, or whatever it is, it has to be l'man tesaper ba'oznei bincha, that it has to penetrate the ear. You have to do it in a way that the foreign winds don't get in the way and they don't interfere. I saw Meridik in Maisa that was set over by Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, set over the following. It was a young couple that had a baby boy. So Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara Masech the Sukkah, that when the boy reaches the time when he starts talking, you have to teach him Torah. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, my Rosh Akilas Yank. No, the father is all happy, his kid's about to start talking. Taira, Tziva, Lanu, having a hard time. The kid wasn't catching on, you know? And he tried again and again, and they were getting a little bit discouraged. One day, the mother's walking with the kid in the street, and there's a guy selling watermelons. So he says in Hebrew, Avatichim, Avatichim Elumim, Avatichim, melons, get your sweet watermelons, get your sweet watermelons, fresh red watermelon. All of a sudden, the kid, they're walking by, and the kid starts saying, red watermelon, get your fresh red watermelon, fresh watermelon. Mamish repeats it exactly the way he heard it. So the mother was like, Mamish shocked. Here they're trying to teach the kid Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, because the kid's not picking it up. And like one time, he hears this guy with the watermelon saying, get your sweet water, and the kid repeats it. She says, Mamish Ois Mensch. She comes home, and then she tells over the mice to her husband, and the kid at home was repeating, get your watermelon. And mommy was like, when I was a kid, I asked my kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was expecting someone to be a big Talmud Chacham. I want to be a fireman. You know, I was mommy, you know, young father. I was like, he's like, what? Talmud Chacham, blah, 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 not fireman. So over here, you know, I got older. I matured a little bit since then, hopefully. But anyway, here, their mom is trying to teach him Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, get your watermelons. He was Ois Mensch. So he went to an Adam Gadol and he told him, oh, he's Choshe, like maybe his kid is Neshama, there's a Pagam in his Neshama, and maybe he has to look for some tikkunim, what to do, to fast, to rectify his kid's Neshama. So the Gadol starts laughing. He says, it's nothing to do with anything. The kid's a Neshama Tahira. You know, he's pure, he's good in all things. But there's a big difference. He says, that fellow, when he was calling out the watermelons, he was trying to put bread on the table for his family. So he did it with all his, you know, with all of his kayak, get your watermelons. He did it with a niggin, he did it with a gishmak. He said, when you teach him Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, you also have to do it with a gishmak. You do it with a song, you do it with a bread, you do it with a levadikai. So then it'll talk to penetrate. Nothing to do with the begamin is neshama. And that's a chalik of, you know, Seder night, especially when you tell over the mices, you have to make it exciting for the kids, for the einikluch, you know, l'man tesaper ba'oznei bincha. You want it to be able to penetrate despite the fact that there are many foreign winds blowing. Vayushav es Moshe, ve'es Aaron el Paroi. After the chetchila, Paroi refused to send the Bnei Yisrael out. It says, Vayushav es Moshe, ve'es Aaron el Paroi, through a shliach. They returned Moshe and Aaron to Paroi by Yomer Aleihem, and he said to them, "Luchu ibdu es Hashem lekechem, go serve Hashem. Mi v'mi ha'olchem? Who and who is going?" Yomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Din Arenu v'zkenenu neleich. Our young and our old will go, but v'vneinu v'neisenu, our sons and daughters." See, there's a Moridik of Balaturim over here. The Balaturim says like this: When Paroi said, who and who is going? What did Paroi mean by that? Paroi saw with his astrologers that the Bnei Yisrael are going to die out in the Midbar. There's only going to be two people surviving. That's going to be Kaleb and Yeshua ben Nun. So he said, you want to go out? Everybody should serve. For what purpose? To what end? You're all going to die in the Midbar anyway. Me, v'mi, ha'hoichem. Me and me, right? That means Yeshua and Kaleb, you know, those two Kataka go. But everybody else, for what purpose? They're going to die anyway. So the Baal HaTurim says, me, v'mi, ha'hoichem. Is the gematria 216, the same gematria as Kolev and Bin Nun. 216. So Mibami could be going. They're going to end up surviving. But the rest of Klal Yisrael. For that, Moshe Rabbeinu answered, Bin Orenu Vizkanenu Nelech. The Gemara says in Mesechtas Bava Basra, that Kuf Chafalaf Amid Beis, that anybody that was under 20 and over 60, the Gzeiris Hamidra wasn't Lagabi then. So he said, Binareinu, those that are under 20, Uvizkeneinu, and those that are older than 60, Nelech, they'll go. They'll attack and survive. But Pari was saying, Miva, Mia, Elchem, Yeshua, and Kalev, I can understand. But everybody else, they saw they're going to die in the Midbar. Binareinu, Uvizkeneinu, those under 20, Uvizkeneinu, those older than 60, they're going to be able to go. Pasuk says about the Choshech, no man saw his brother in the Choshech, and they did not rise. Man did not rise up from his place. And for all of the Bnei Yisrael, there was light in their dwelling place. So the Medrash Rabbah says, it doesn't say, it doesn't say the light was only in the land of Goshen. The Maishreisam, wherever they settled, wherever they went. State Medrash, Kol Makom Shehu Yehudi Nichnas, wherever a Jew used to enter, a light used to enter together with him, Umeir Loi, and it illuminated for him, Masha B'chavios, what was in the barrels, Uvetevos, and in boxes, Uvematmunios, and in concealed places. Ba'alehem Ne'amar, about that is it said, Ner L'ragli Dvarecha, a lamp for my feet are your words, and they are a light for my path. So, number one, you see from the Medrash, wherever they went, there was a light. They were able to have x-ray vision to see what was hidden in the barrels, in the closets, in the boxes. The light lit up for them. And about this it is said, Ner l'rag l'idvarech. So, Hagoyin Rav Chaim Kamil, used the Rosh Yeshiva Noifakim in Eretz Yisrael, that it's out of l'bracha. He says, you see clearly from the Medrash that it wasn't just that there was no choshech by them and there was light. There was zeichah to a special light that was more than the light that we have. They're able to see through everything. And the Medrash quotes the pasuk, Ner l'rag l'dvarecha, your words which are the Torah, they're a lamp unto my feet. What's it got to do with the Arat Torah? So Chaim Kamil says, it's yidu of the Medrash, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Adam was able to see with that light from one end of the world to the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that this special light is going to be used by Rishon. He saw the Dar HaMabul, he saw the Dar HaFlage, he saw that Rishon could abuse this light and misuse it. So what did he do? Gonzoi l'tzadikim l'osad lavi. He hid it for the tzadikim l'osad lavi. Where did he put it? The Sfarim say he hid it in the Torah. And from that Torah, you could be zeichet to that Or HaGonas. Choshev Rav in Cleveland told me, Rav Yehuda Blum told me, that his great-grandfather, before he was Nifter, made a bracha that he was Nehenna from the Or HaGonas. I used to say Tzaddik, and were able to have Hanar from that Or HaGonas. It's about one of the Mefarshim on the Siddur bring down, when we say, Yaitzer Or HaBaruch Choshev, I'm sorry, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Yaitzer HaMa'ayreis, one of the things we should have in mind, he creates the Or HaGonas. But anyway, so that's what happened over here in Mitzrayim. Besides the fact that there was no Choshech, they were already zeichet to the Or HaGonas of the Torah. Why? They didn't accept the Torah, they didn't get the Torah yet. But like we mentioned, the Makkos, the whole Mitzrayim experience was a Hechsher for Kabbalah's HaTorah. It was already the Erev Shabbos of the Shabbos of Kabbalah Zatayra. On Erev Shabbos, we were already able to shmir the Kedusha of the upcoming Shabbos. So this was the preparation. This was the Hechsher. It plowed them. It prepared them to be able to get the seeds of Kabbalah Zatayra. The metal, they were already able to be Nehemeh from those Eiris, from that light. And that's why the Medrash quotes the Pasuk. Ner l'rat lid varecha. It wasn't just a lack of chayshev that was here. It was a special light that they were able to see into the hidden places, the closets, the barrels, the boxes. They were able to see into that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make nisim for no purpose at all. They could have just as easily picked up the top of the barrel and looked in and opened up the box and looked in. I mean, to use the Eir HaTorah, to use the Eir HaKadosh for what? To see what kind of wine, whether it's Malaga wine or it's a base Chablis. For that, you have to use the Eir HaTorah. I once heard of Mayri de Kipshat. The barrels and the vessels that we're talking about are the vessels within themselves. Every person has Kalim. Every person has Midas. Every person has inner Kaychas, vessels that are able to accept the Bracha about Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Mitzrayim, they forgot about those vessels. They had no idea that they had those koiches. They were mushubadim lepari for 210 years. The Mitzrayim, they mocked them, they degraded them, they made them into avodim, into slaves. Pari was laughing. These are ruchniyazdik people. And they lost their own self-esteem. They had no idea that they had those inner koiches. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, by this or, that or was able to penetrate their inner self and to show them you have tremendous Kalim in there. They were able to see the potential that lies in the barrels and the boxes and the hidden places within them. And with that, they were able to leave Mitzrayim and march with pride towards the Kabbalah Zatayra. That's the Ner L'Rav Lid Varecha. That's a Moridik and Moridik Azach. A person learns a little bit of Taira. It's able to light up within him a tremendous, tremendous chukka for Taira, and he gets to see his inner potential. A person could steig in a way he himself doesn't realize the inner kaychas that he has within himself. There's a fellow in Cleveland. I was in Cleveland. That was my son's chasen a few years ago. So Sunday morning, right before we left, they davened in a minyan over there, or Shemir Shabbos. So somebody points out, you see that fellow over there? This guy sitting in the corner. There's a daf yayim yishir going on in the corner. So he tells me, that fellow, he's his second, he looked like a modern fellow, has long hair, you know. He's going his second cycle around Daf Yomi. Says, what happened? The guy wasn't from. He was by a Cleveland Indian game. And there was a few yeshiva guys, and they were schmoozing that tonight is the Daf Yomi Siyum or whatever. They're going to see a whole production, a whole video about it. And he overhears them talking. He asks, what are you guys talking about? What is it? Whatever. So he wants to go see it. Goes and sees it. He got turned down. He wants to learn Daf Yomi. You know, got a hold of an art scroll, whatever. He says, as he was finishing Masechta Shabbos, he decided, I have to become a Shomer Shabbos. So he walked 4 miles in each direction on Shabbos to the nearest Frumah Shul. And slowly but surely he became a full-fledged Frumah Yid. When I was there, it was about four years ago, maybe 5 years ago, he was already in his second cycle of Daf Yomi. Now he's probably in his third, sitting there with his Ashur Gemara. He goes to Shir twice a day, to two Daf Yomi Shiurim a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. Now, who in the world would have imagined? The guy, he woke up one morning, went to the Cleveland Indians game, had no idea who he's going to run into. He's learning Shas now, probably the third time around, in this Hapach Liish Acher. The Or HaTorah, the Ner L'Rat Lid Varecha, V'Arul Nesivasi, that has the ability to light up the inner kaychas within the person, those vessels within him. He realizes there's vessels there, there's kaychas there that he himself never realized that he possessed. Dabar Na Bozne Ha'am, please speak to the ears of the nation. The Yishalu Ish Me'esh Re'ehu, the Isha Me'esh Re'usa, everybody should borrow from his friend, and a woman from her friend, silver vessels and gold vessels. So the Chasam Sofer over here says, earlier in Parsha Shemais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Moshe Rabbeinu about the borrowing, he said, V'nosati eschein ha'am be'eretz Mitzrayim. I will place the grace of the nation, the chein of the nation, in the eyes of the land of Mitzrayim. V'sho'a lo isha mishchenta, a woman will borrow from her neighbor, umigoraz beisa, from the one that lives in her house, klei kesev, klei zov, usmolais. When Hashem first told it to Moshe, he mentioned silver vessels, gold vessels, and clothing. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem repeats it, And later on again, it says that when they finally actually borrowed, it says that they borrowed clothing. So L'chitchil Hashem says, yeah, to do it. Later on, it says not. And then once again at the end, it says, yeah. What's the pshat? Some sefer says, a married to pshat. He says, the emesis L'chitchil, the goyim, they used to wear avodah zarah on their clothing. It was embroidered into their clothing. So their clothing was awesome, right? Now what happened? At the time of Makkos B'chayris, the Medrash tells us that the avodah zarah of the Mitzrayim, they disintegrated, totally wiped out. So the avodah zarah that were on the clothing, they also disintegrated. So from the time that they were commanded over here to borrow clothing, and later on, something changed. The avodah zarah disintegrated, so the clothing became mutter. So Shalif Yizeh, in the very beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe they're going to borrow the clothing, he was telling them what's going to be Lamaisa. Lamaisa, Hashem saw the future. He said at the end, right, he said that it's going to end up being they're going to borrow the smallest. But at this point over here, the commandment could not yet come to borrow the smallest. This was before Makkos B'chayris. The avodah zarah was still on their clothing. So here it was still awesome. So here the command was not to take the smallest. But at the end it says that they take and borrow the smallest as well. Because by then already, the avodah zarah was eradicated. It was no longer there. Vayomer Moshe. And Moshe said, Koyomar Hashem, so says Hashem. So said Hashem. Kachatzois halayla, at about midnight, ani yoytze b'soich Mitzrayim. I am going out in the midst of Mitzrayim. Kachatzois, at about midnight, not bachatzois, but kachatzois. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said bachatzois, at midnight. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly when midnight is. So he said bachatzois. But Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the astrologers of Paroi, they're not going to chop the exact minute. They're going to be off by a minute or two, whatever. And if he says bachatzois, and they won't see it according to their cheshbon, they'll be, you see, it's not here yet. So they'll say, Moshe's a liar. So b'meile, Moshe Rabbeinu l'chitchila said kachatzois. They shouldn't have that mistake. The famous question that's asked over here is, I mean, just because he'll be off by a couple of seconds or even a couple of minutes, the Mitzrayim are getting their heads handed to them. Mitzrayim is devastated. So if according to their cheshbon, he's off by a couple of minutes, you can say, Moshe Badoya, we finished, you know. So the belt says over. Now, we mentioned this in the past, that this is the way of Apikursa. They can have the truth staring them in the face. They can mamish see b'chush that there's a boy, Reyolam. They're getting wiped out. But if they have one little kasha, you see, he was off by a couple of seconds, right away you say, you see, it's not true. He lied. That's the type of an apikoros, someone that does not want to accept the truth. You know, the minute he has the slightest pesach, he'll walk away from it. He's not going to be willing to accept it. He says, you can have the emma staring in the face. No, they're not willing to accept it. I read a while back, you know, by Goyim, they've been publishing books over the last 15, 20 years about out-of-body experiences, where Goyim Mamish, they're clinically dead, and they felt their spirit leaving their body. And they all say pretty much, commonly, they saw white light, and they felt there was a certain menucha, and then their spirit went back into their body. There was one doctor in particular, I forgot already his name, he wrote a book. He was a rabid apikiris. He made fun of religion, he made fun of anything that has to do with ruchnius. And he had a wonderful life. He was wealthy, he had a wonderful family and all things. And he got sick and he ended up in the hospital. He ended up clinically dead. And he had one of these out-of-body experiences. He wrote a whole book about it. And now, Mamash, he went mikotze ala kotze. you know, and how he was Makabal, and he became a very religious person, a guy. And there's numerous books have been written about it. So I once read an article about this, and one woman, a famous psychiatrist, said that we can't accept any of these stories as fact, because if we do, it's going to contradict all of the principles that we've had until now. We're going to have to redo our whole way of thinking. I'm not willing to do that. In other words, don't confuse me with the facts. You know, Chabayin Shita, whatever. I, the facts, speak, you know, people are Mamish Mayit. Don't confuse me with the facts. Same thing with Mitzrayim. If he'll be off by a couple of seconds, they'll have a Pesach, everything goes down the drain. But Rav Elie Meir Bloch says, he doesn't like this pshat. He says it's not Mestavri. And he says differently. He says, even if there's 1 second of a lack of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, that's already a davar gadol. If for 1 or 2 seconds, there's a little bit of a chashad, even if they find out later that Makas Bechoyer's Taka is going to come and it's there, but for those 2 seconds, Lamaisa, they were left in doubt. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to alleviate the problem even those 2 seconds. By us, well, what's the difference? 2 seconds later, they'll figure it out eventually that it came. But if the first couple of seconds it's not there yet, and in their hearts they see, oh, for 2 seconds, Moshe's a liar. He said, that already causes a tremendous kilkel. He says, you see like that by people. Let's say a fellow did something which people could question, they could be questioning him, and he knows he's innocent. He's going to try and fend for himself right away. There shouldn't even be the slightest chash against him. And he's going to try as early as possible to take away any chashes. That's what you find in Koichos Bnei Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there shouldn't be the slightest chash even for 2 seconds. Yeah, it could be later on, they'll be minded. But if for those first couple of seconds they were in doubt, that is a lacking of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that that shouldn't be. And Melo Lechatchili said, Kachatzais, they shouldn't have the question to begin with. Just one more short vart. Somebody asked the Shav the Rav. It says in the Pasuk, Zochar es hayom hazeh, asher yitzosim yimitzrayim mibeis avodim. Remember this day that you left Mitzrayim from the house of slaves. Ki b'chayzik yor haitzi Hashem eschem mizeh. With a strong hand, Hashem took you out of here. So somebody asked Rav Aaron Bakst, he was the Shav the Rav, he says, how come we don't see any Nisim today? How come this Baruch Hu doesn't show us any Nisim in the flies the way he showed our fathers in Mitzrayim? So he said, Marshal Amad Avridayma, little kid, he's just starting to pull himself up from crawling. He's starting to take the first steps. So the father and the mother holds the two arms and she walks with him to let him take those steps, weiter, you know. And this lasts for a while. But then when the kid already knows how to walk on his own, you know, adorama, they want him to develop himself, they want him to develop his muscles, develop his walking, his running, whatever. It would be silly to hold on to his hand like that. So it's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. When we were in Mitzrayim, when we were in the Midbar, we were taking our first steps. And we needed someone to teach us Emuna. We needed someone to be mashush in us, you know, that belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu held us by both hands. He showed us Nisim and the flies, and we were able to see it, and we were able to start walking. But once we're able to start walking on our own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to probe on our own and to be Zoichet Emuna through the Oyer HaTayr. Same way with a little child, that's a perfect marshal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do that through the Kayach HaTayr, Zachar Sayyim Azan, to repeat over again what it says in the Torah. I just want to finish with a Dover Nifla I saw. I forgot already from whom. It might be from the Divrei Chaim. That the Oisius of the Torah, the way they're set up for the Geula, for Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim, they have a chemical effect on the person that he could be feel like he's a nigol, even though we're still in Golas. But to a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly redeeming us. We shouldn't fall into the malaise of being avodim. He says, these parashiyos, with their oisiyos, and laning them and reading them, those oirais, they go into us, and they redeem us, at least kol kefimash efshir here in Golas. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.